It's 1 p.m. I will entertain a motion to reconvene this meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion from Ms. Wanner to reconvene the meeting, and a second from Ms. Angels. We will vote. Ms. Godwin?
Yes.
Ms. Wanner?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Aye.
Mr. Davis?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. This meeting is out of recess. The next hearing is for Safa and Rahab Mutaseb. How'd I do?
It's Rajab.
Okay. I tried.
I appreciate it.
Okay, I will swear you in as well as the county. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Mr. Zuck?
I do.
This is your opportunity to present your testimony. However, you're limited to documentation and evidence that was included in your appeal application. You have 15 minutes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So this is regarding our house assessment.
Can I stop? Hold on one second. Can you turn your microphone on? The button right there?
There you go.
How is this?
Perfect.
Great.
So this is in regards to my residence at 114 West Cape Shores. As you're well aware, the entire county was reassessed, retained Tyler Technologies. I'm not leaning on any outside numbers other than what was provided to me by Tyler and the county's assessor's office. So they had the wrong square footage for our house. In actuality, it is 2,130 square feet. Initially, the number that they had for the living space or area was around 3,600, way overstated. I reached out to them. They miscorrected it to 2,600 and change. So if you do a simple math and you take the breakdown that they provided for the land value and the building, and you leave the land value constant at $2,800,000, and just do a per square foot adjustment down towards the accurate number, which gets you to $495 per square foot times 2130 gives you $1,056,000. You add the value of the land back, that puts you at $3.157 million. So that's my first point. Let me know if you need me to provide the detail again, or there is a house that's included in the assessor's assessment at 110 Breakwater Reach. A recent sale back in 2023. It's significantly larger. It's 3,365 square feet. And I know the house really well. It's only a few houses from my house in its bayfront. And it has a better positioning on the bay than mine. And the quality of the construction, mine was classified as B. This house was classified as B+. And this house with the lot was assessed at $3,140,000. So if you may counter that the size of our lot is larger, as we are at 0.34 acres, and this house is at 0.216 acres. Fair. However, if you look at our lot, it's actually curved. It goes straight and then to the right towards the bay. So the size does not give you a whole lot of advantage in terms of your ability to position a house with maximum. If anything, the one at 110 has a better sitting in front of the bay. So if I use this logic and this number and I adjust for the actual square footage, you know, our house ought to be assessed at less than 3 million. That's it.
That's it. Okay. Mr. Keeler, do you have anything to add, or Ross?
I have no questions at this time.
Here's up.
No, thank you.
Okay. Questions from the board? I'll open the floor to the board.
When you brought up the discrepancy in the square footage, was there a reevaluation of your property at the time?
Yes. So they started at 3.5 million, and then Tyler Technologies, when they miscorrected it from 3,600 to 2,600 and change, they took it down to 3.406. And then I talked to Sussex County assessment staff, and they took it to 3,399,000.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions from the board?
Sir,
yes.
Where did you get your 2130 square footage?
When we bought the house, the county's records and the agent that we went through, we bought it back in 20, that was the number. So there is somewhat of a bit misleading structure to the house. It's got a crawling space and a garage that goes all the way back to the crawling space. And if you look at it from a satellite, you think it's actually a finished living space when it's not. It's part garage and part crawl space. If that makes sense.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. So do you feel after that, what you're saying, alleging, that the square footage in the reassessment was correct? The square footage, not the reassessment number, the square footage.
No, ma'am. Let me be 100% accurate. So when I reached out to the reassessment staff, that's after Tyler Technologies was out, they still did not correct it at 2,600. They sent me a letter with 3.399 million assessment. And I called and I said, you still have the wrong square footage number. And then I spoke with Ms. Katrina, and she said at this point, all you can do is go to a hearing. And I said, okay, let's do that. That's fine. And then 2 weeks later, before this hearing was scheduled, I got an email from her. She said that we've adjusted your assessment down to correct the square footage to 2130. And they came up, I think, with like a $2.25 million number. But that like, if just simple math, you take the number that was allocated to the building, divide by the incorrect square footage to get that per square foot, multiply by the, that still gets you to a lower number.
My feeling right now is we have so many numbers and square footage and assessments that I don't know where we are. Like, I need to know where we are.
So let me help clarify, if I may, please. The actual square footage is 2,130, okay? If you use the land value that was provided, even though my view, it's a bit overvalued because of the curve issue I suggested, they valued it at 2.1 million. My opinion, my humble opinion, it's probably worth 2 million, not 2.1, despite the fact it's slightly larger, and that's due to the curvature in the lot. And then you adjust for the quality of the building versus the one that's being assessed at 3.1 million, which is at 3,300 plus square footage. And that gets me to a number around 2.85. As you know, this is not perfect science. It's art and science.
Any further questions? Very well. Mr. Keeler, Mr. Zuck, do you have anything to present?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, based on the appellant's application and the referee hearing, assessment staff did correct the square footage. We do have it now at total living area of 2,130 square feet. We also offered a stipulation to bring the value down to $3,230,300, which is the current value on the property. I will turn it over to our witness from Tyler Technologies, Mr. Ryan Zuck, to support that value. Thank you.
Mr. Zuck.
Thank you. So we did review the appellant's comparables that they did provide. There was three comparables, one from 2020, one from early February of 2021, and one from 2017. There was no weight given to the one in 2020 or 2017, as it was previous to the date of our comp allowance. So the one that sold on 2/19 of 2021 sold for $1.45 million. It was not Bayfront. We did look at comparable sales that were Bayfront in Cape Shores and Lewis Beach. First comp sold on 6/10 of 21, $4,650,000. Second comp sold on 6/7/23, $3.6 million. Both of them sales are in Cape Shores, same as the subject. And the third comp sold in Lewis Beach on 5/23/23 for $3.6 million. So the information for the subject property has been corrected. It is now 2,130 square feet. The value per square foot is currently at $1,516. The median for the Bayfront homes is $1,490,000. The average is $1,583,000 per square foot. So the subject is right in line comparing it to other Bayfront homes. Thank you.
You may cross-examine him if you wish.
So, if you look at these homes that you've cited, particularly the two comps within Cape Shores, and if you look at the size of these homes and you look at the quality of their construction, they're significantly greater in size and superior in the quality of the finish. If you make these adjustments to both of these, and then you also adjust for their location on the bay being fully bayfront versus a curved positioning, I think these comps are a premium to my home.
And I,
so you have any questions?
I was about to, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So the question is, do you make any adjustments for these attributes?
Yes, consideration is given to that within the market model. So even though the other comparables in Cape Shore are superior to the subject property, they sold for the 4.6 and the 3.6. The quality of that construction, the size of that condition, or the size of the property, the overall condition and the quality is taken into consideration. The one down in Lewis Beach, you know, we would consider that to be actually inferior to yours, you know, where it's located at much smaller, 1,600 square feet, and that one still sold for $3.6 million. It's really that location that is driving your value, as you're probably well aware of that. It is that Bayfront. But we do take into account the quality, the condition, and all of those factors that do drive value.
If I may follow up with one last question. If I used your own valuation for this house and just corrected for the square feet and use your own breakdown land and building and adjusted for the correction, that still gets me to a number lower than your final number.
I understand that. You're looking at just adjusting on a per square foot basis. When we're looking at the market model, we're looking at what does a property sell for? And then we're subtracting out the land, because we have to use land sales in order to establish that. The difference is within that square footage. So there is a curve. It is not just a linear equation. So we do account for things like that.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. I'll open the floor to the board for any questions to Mr. Keeler or Mr. Zuck.
Mr. Keeler, so the stipulated was $3,230,310. That's stipulated?
$3,230,300.
And Mr. Zuck, I see that it looks like the land value over $2 million with this home. And is that in a line with most of those homes in the comparables?
Yes, considering they're all bayfront.
And even if there is a little kind of a curvature?
Sure. I mean, what we're doing is we're looking at, even though he has a little bit more land, we look at a base rate size and then we run a market regression analysis. So the little bit of extra land that he has is done on an incremental basis.
Any further questions? Okay. Do you have any rebuttal to what Mr. Keeler or Mr. Zuck have presented?
No, not really.
Okay.
But thank you.
Sure. Then I guess I motion for closing comments.
Closing statements. Yep.
Closing statements. I'm sorry, Mr.
Sorry.
Do you have any closing comments?
Sure. Respectfully, I take Tyler Technologies and the assessments analysis data at heart, fully respected. I know the neighborhood quite well. It's my belief, opinion, based on all of it, at the 3.2 plus, it's slightly overvalued, not, you know, obscenely overvalued. Again, we're talking about valuation. My sense, based on all of it, it's probably more around the 3 million mark is probably a better representation.
Thank you. I'll accept a motion to close the record on this hearing.
So moved.
Any closing comment from assessment?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Now I entertain a motion to close the record on this hearing.
So moved.
I second it.
I have a motion from Ms. Angel and a second from Mr. Davis to close the record on this hearing. We'll now vote. Mr. Davis?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Aye.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Ms. Godwin?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. The record is closed on this hearing. If any member of the board feels that the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if a board member feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we will need a motion to approve the appeal. I will entertain a motion.
I will make a motion to dismiss the appeal based on the testimony provided by Mr. Zuck of Tyler Technologies.
Very well. Is there a second?
Second, because of the testimony provided by Tyler Technologies and the adjustment that was made.
I have a motion by Ms. Godwin and a second by Ms. Angel to deny the appeal. We will now vote. Ms. Godwin.
Vote to deny based on reasons already stated.
Ms. Warner.
I'm going to vote to deny, and that is... I think it's with within spec. I got over $2 million just in land, and I think it's right in there with the comparables.
Okay. Ms. Angel?
I vote to dismiss the appeal based on the comments I made, reasoning.
Mr. Davis?
I make a motion to deny based on testimony given by Tyler, and the square footage differential would adjust down to the 3.2, what the county is offering.
And thank you. Just to clarify, that was a vote, not a motion, right?
Yeah.
Vote.
Thank you. And the chair votes to deny based on the comparables provided by the county. So your appeal is denied. However, you have the right to seek judicial review on the decision in Superior Court, so if you wish.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice afternoon.
You too. The next hearing is for Anthony Colquan, LLC, for the property at 117 Savannah Road, Unit 3, Lewis, Delaware, parcel number 335-8.08-105.00-3. State your name, please.
My name is Michael Cahoon, and Cole Cahoon is, and Thaney is my wife.
Okay. I'll swear you in along with the county. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Mr. Zook?
I do.
This is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence based on your application. You have 15 minutes.
I don't really have too much to say other than the fact that going from 259,800 to 880,300, it just seems arbitrary and excessive. And I would like to consider a lower figure if possible.
Very well. Thank you. Assessments, you may cross-examine.
No questions.
Mr. Zook?
No, thank you.
I'll open the floor to the board for questions for the appellant on their evidence presented in their application and their Colquhoun's statement.
Can you tell me the purchase price of this home? The
purchase price was $680,000.
Okay. And the proposed assessment was that $880,000?
Yes.
And when did you buy this home?
I think I bought it in, let's see. I'm not sure when I bought it, about 10 years ago.
2008?
The application says 2008.
Okay. 2008, and that is correct? 2008.
Yes.
Okay, so then it is your testimony today that you bought this home for $680,000 in 2008, and you don't think the value should be $880,000?
I'm not sure. I haven't tried to sell it. I didn't want to sell it, you know. And I don't understand why I'm being assessed with sort of what you call unrealized capital gains. You know, if I sold it, then I could say, yeah, I got that much more money out of it, but I don't intend to sell it. Matter of fact, we wanted to move into it ourselves as we get older and sell our home and move into that smaller.
So is this property at this point, is this income producing?
Yes, we get $2,000 a month.
And this is It's one unit in several, in a larger building.
One unit in four units, right on the road there.
Okay, that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Anybody else have questions?
Sir, your garage level, is there any finished square footage on that, on the first floor? Or is it fully garage?
It's just a garage. And
the whole first floor is?
It's not actually a whole first floor. It's only the garage part. The whole downstairs is Foster real estate.
Commercial.
Commercial. All the, and so all we own is that garage portion.
Thank you.
There's no further questions. I'll call on assessments to present their evidence and testimony. Mr. Keeler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Assessment staff did not believe there was sufficient evidence to overturn the proposed assessment value set by Tyler Technologies. I will turn it over to our witness, Mr. Ryan Zuck, to support the current value.
Thank you. So the property location for the subject is, you know, they're condos. On the first level is, as the appellant stated, is the Foster offices. So initially, when the appellant received their first value that was dated November 20th of 2024, he received the value of $259,800. There was a clerical mistake made that was recognized because one of the property owners in that unit was upset. I just purchased my property in 2020 for $700,000. How can it only be worth $250,000? Once the clerical error was determined, we went back through, corrected the info for each individual unit. So that is the reason the first value he did receive was a clerical mistake. It was determined a mistake. We went through and fixed it. So the true value of that property is not $259,000. I don't think the appellant would even agree that is the true value. Currently, we're at $880,300. We do have other comparable sales in that area that are selling. There's not a whole lot that has sold in that building. I believe there's only four units. The comparables that we did provide are basically half the square footage from 2021. They're selling for $699,000 to $750,000. There's a couple older sales that we went back and looked at. One of them was the appellant who reached out to us to advise us, I just purchased that property, $716,000. You have my information incorrect. So we did go back, make those corrections, not to just one unit, but all of them to be equitable. And we do think that value of $880,000 is justified price per square foot, value per square foot with this location. Thank you.
Very well. You have any questions for Mr. Zuck in response?
My misunderstanding was that the property values were not always the maximum that you could get for the property. It was somewhere like one-third the value of the property would be your property tax on it. That was my understanding, and I guess I was wrong on that.
Okay.
Would you like me to answer that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. In the past, the county has assessed at a predetermined ratio of 50%. So whatever the value was, they used 50% of value for your taxable value. Moving forward, everything is brought up to 100% of value as of July 1 of 2023.
Can I ask why they're doing that?
Well, I don't know why they had a predetermined ratio in the past.
It seems to me that we're paying for all the development, the sewers, the water, the roads, and everything that's being put in there now. And we live in Wolf Run. There's no sewers in Wolf Run. We didn't get them initially. They said if we wanted to get them, we'd have to pay $14,000 a piece. and couldn't get everybody to agree on that. And secondly, the roads are atrocious. They haven't been fixed in 30 years. Matter of fact, there's even looks like a sinkhole is developing in the center of one of the roads there. There's cracks and you know, when you drive through, and there's grass growing up through the, so it's just like we're paying for everybody else's development in the area.
Well, I understand your concerns. Unfortunately, that is outside the scope of work of what I do, so I can't speak on that, unfortunately.
Okay.
Mr. Keeler, could you add anything to that?
Previously, when the taxes were based on 50% of 1974 value, that's just the way that the administration decided to handle that. Going forward, they didn't want any confusion, so they wanted to tax at 100% of the July 1st of 2023 value. So, but tax rates will be adjusted back not to collect more than previously collected. There is a cap for the county at 15%. School districts are capped at 10% of additional revenue that can be collected after a reassessment.
Okay.
I'll open it to the board for questions for Mr. Zuck or Mr. Keeler.
Could you once again explain why that originally was $259,000?
Sure. So, because we had that as a one-story dwelling, which cut the square footage in half. So, once we determined the basement or the first level is the retail condos, we recognized there was a partial basement that the appellant has, then he has two floors above that. So due to that clerical error, making it a one-story, cutting the square footage in half, that depreciated that value down.
Thank you.
Mr. Zuck, do you know what the proposed assessment is for other units in that building?
They are all going to be very, very similar. I mean, if somebody has a fireplace or an extra bathroom, it could vary a little bit, but they're all going to be very similar, as long as they're absolutely identical.
Thank you. Any further questions? Hearing none, do you have any rebuttal on what Mr. Zuck or Mr. Keeler stated?
No.
Very well. Therefore, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you very much for listening to my reevaluation.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I'll entertain a motion to close the record.
Anything from assessment just as a closing statement before we close the record potentially?
No additional comments.
No, thank you.
Then we'll entertain a motion to close the record.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion by Ms. Warner to close the record and a second by Ms. Angel. We will now vote on closing the record. Ms. Godwin?
Yes.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Aye.
Mr. Davis?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. The record is closed on this hearing. If any member of the board feels the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, they may make a motion to deny the appeal, or if someone feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we would need a motion to approve the appeal. I will entertain a motion.
I will make a motion to deny the appeal based on both the testimony by Mr. Zuck relating to the clerical error and also the testimony provided by the Director of Assessment related to how the properties are going to be taxed going forward compared to how they were taxed by the previous administration from 1974.
Very well. Is there a second?
I second that based on the lack of evidence to support the appeal.
Very well. We have a motion by Ms. Godwin and a second by Ms. Angel to deny the appeal. We will take the vote. Ms. Godwin?
Yes, to deny based on my previous statements.
Ms. Warner?
I'm going to vote to deny, and that's based on the testimony provided by both Tyler Technologies and the Director of Assessment.
Ms. Angel?
I vote to dismiss based on the lack of evidence for the appeal by the appellant.
Mr. Davis?
I vote to deny based on the comps provided were one level garden style and the prior sale in 2008.
And the chair votes to deny based on the record presented. So the motion is denied. However, you have the right to judicial review in Superior Court if you wish.
Thank you very much.
The vote was 5 to deny and none against. The motion passed. Very well, thank you.
Thank you.
Last hearing today is for John Rolick, 27288 Woodland Road, Seaford, Delaware, parcel number 531-15.00-60.00. Please state your names.
I'm John Rolick.
Okay. And
Stephen R. Houston, State of Delaware, certified residential real property appraiser, Delaware license number X2-0000165 on behalf of Mr. Rolick.
Thank you. I'll swear both of you in as well as the county representatives. Do you swear that the evidence you shall give to the board in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes.
Mr. Keeler?
I do.
Mr. Zuck?
I do.
I brought along a copy of my CV.
Okay.
As exhibit.
You have 15 minutes.
You need this as exhibit. Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to assess the value of a house. That's why I hired Steve to do it. The first time Tyler said my house was worth 780, then they came back and said 778, and then they come and say 510 after I told them whatever Steve said, 430. They were so far off the first two times, I just can't really trust what they had to say the third time.
Very well.
Subsequent to the new assessment, I did receive the request from Mr. Rolick to complete an update and appraisal on his property on Woodland Road in Seaford. Our firm, Houston Appraisal Company, my mother, who's now deceased, my mother and I had previously inspected and appraised the property back on June 7th of 2010, and at that time, the value estimate was $265,000. I'm just giving you that for reference. So I was familiar with the property from the prior appraisal. Completed the reinspection of the property. Inspection date, working with the retrospective value period. I don't know what level of detail you want me to get into as far as the dwelling. We're not disputing any physical characteristics, I don't believe, square footage estimates. That my estimate of physical living area, dwelling livable area is 4,306 by physical measurement. The property also includes a large unfinished basement estimated at 2,792 square feet. My comp selection, basically the subject property is located within the Seaford 100. I also considered the adjacent and competitive Nanticoke 100, Broad Creek 100, and Northwest Fork 100 market areas. All single family detached residential transactions settled between January 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2023. And we did work with a retrospective value date of June 30th, 2023. Just to give you some background, within the summary of the search for comparables for the sales comparison approach, I did complete a more specific and concentrated search for properties that had finished livable areas of between 3,000 and 5,000 square feet. I also looked at properties that conveyed with site sizes between 2 and 10 acres. The subject property comprises a site size of 3.83 acres. I would add that although it does have a site size of the 3.83 acres, do you all have a copy of my appraisal?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you would turn, I do have a copy of the plat map, and then there's also an aerial view as well. The property sits approximately in the front middle portion of the site. That location on Woodland Road is in very close proximity to the Butler Branch, which bounds very close to the east. Craig's Pond is located probably less than a half mile north, and the Nanticoke River probably less than a half mile to the south. That site, the northern portion of that site, has a very uneven topography. It's very lowland. So my point is, it probably is not a candidate for any further subdivision due to the position of the dwelling on the site, the below average topography on the northern portion of the site. So I think that should be given some consideration. Now, going back to the sales comparison approach, I was able to identify 3 sales within the retrospective time period, properties that sold, which I considered to be good matches in overall dwelling physical characteristics and site locational value. Comparable number 1, located in Old Meadow Road, sold for $450, and that transfer date was May 24th of 2021. Had almost an equal site size, 3.5 acres compared to the subject's 3.83. I considered no significant size adjustment. That property also very similar in actual age. The subject has an actual age of 58 years with an estimated effective age of 40. Very similar for comparable ones, 4 actual, 40 plus effective. There again, almost an exact same match in dwelling finished livable area, 4,300 for the subject versus 4,500 for the comparable. It did have a smaller basement, however, it was finished, so no adjustment was applied. Upward adjustment was applied for garage capacity, 3-car attached garage capacity for the subject versus 2-car for the comparable. And it did have an in-ground pool amenity, which downward adjustment was applied. And that comparable adjusted at 430 with 6% gross adjustment. The other property identified was 26565 River Road, sold for $425 on May 21st, 2021. That property was inferior in site size, 162 acres versus 3.83 the subject. Upward adjustment was applied at a rate of $8,000 per acre. I was able to locate at least 5 unimproved land sales of properties between 3 and 4 acres, which indicated an average price per acre range of $24,000. And the adjustment was applied at 1/3 of that price per acre. Comparable 2 is superior in age, 24 years versus the subject 58. It was also considered in a better condition than the subject. I rated the subject in an average condition and made a downward adjustment for superior condition. Upward adjustment was applied for inferior square footage. It did have a 1,400 square foot basement, which was 90% finished. No adjustment was applied. And then also downward adjustment was applied for superior garage capacity. That property had a 2-car attached garage and also a 2-car detached garage. Both of these properties, comparables 1 and 2, I have previously inspected the interior of. Okay. The third comparable that I identified, the 6350 Seashore Highway, sold for $450. Transfer date was January 2023. That property was superior, had 5 acres versus the subject's 3.83, downward adjustment was applied. That property was in a good, newly, fully renovated condition for which downward adjustment was also applied. It was superior also in bath count, downward adjustment was applied, and it was inferior in square footage for which upward adjustment was applied. And it did not have a basement amenity, upward adjustment was applied, and it was slightly, again, inferior in garage capacity. Those three sales gave me an adjusted rounded value range of 424 to 437. Most weight and emphasis was applied to sale one, which required the least gross adjustment at 6%. Just for my own edification, I also, subsequent to the appraisal, ran a search in the subject Seaford 100 market area for properties that conveyed during the retrospective time period for between $500,000 and $600,000. Within that value range, there were only 10 transfers, and the majority of those properties had dwelling ages that were subsequent to 2004, constructed subsequent to 2004. Keep in mind that the subject is a 58-year-old, I'd call it a mid-century modern ranch-style dwelling. The appeal, I'm also a realtor for 34 years. All the comparables are located on, they have similar county road frontage. None of the comparables, like the subject, are located in a restricted subdivision. I think the appeal to the current market standard would be somewhat below average for that property in today's market. Granted, it does have a lot of square footage, both the livable area and the unfinished basement area. However, I think diminishing returns as far as size would be an adequate response. That. I have included for your review pictures of all interior rooms.
Yes.
You can see, if you look at the pictures, the interior finish has not been significantly updated or renovated. There is a rear bath that Mr. Rolick reported as not really functional currently. I would encourage you to look at the finish of the baths, the full baths area, as far as being of predominantly original fixtures. Bath two and bath three, you can see the tile work. I've also included photographs of the unfinished basement area, which I did remeasure for the purpose of area calculation. I've included photos of the rear yard. It's hard to tell in the photos, but you can see the lower topography. Front and interior, front pictures, east and west side photographs, and street view looking easterly on Woodland Road. Pictures of the comparables, location of the comparables, copy of the county plat map, aerial map. Properties not located within a flood zone. That's all I have.
Thank you. Assessments, you may cross-examine or question the witnesses.
I have no questions at this time.
Mr. Zuck?
No, thank you.
I'll open the floor to the board for questions.
Mr. Houston,
yes.
Why did you go 9 miles for comp three? Were you trying to bracket something on the report?
I was, and I was able to successfully bracket all three. The property by
bracket
all.
Which characteristic of the subject were you trying to bracket?
Square footage and site size. And if you would refer back to the adjustment grid, comparable one is approximately equal. Comparable two is inferior, for which upward adjustment was applied. And comparable three is superior, to which downward adjustment was applied.
Go ahead.
Inferior, superior, and approximately equal. That is bracketing of the site size.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. I get that. Why wasn't comp one or two given any basement adjustment?
Comparable one or two, because they included finished area. The subject property has no finished area in the basement. It's completely unfinished. Okay. I was also able to bracket the dwelling for the finished square footage. Okay. I'll refer you to comparable one. Basically, the difference is 200 square feet. I think there would be no market reaction to a difference of 200 square feet. for the subject property versus with 4,300 versus a property with 4,500. The market's not that sensitive. The typical buyer doesn't recognize that difference. So that's approximately equal. Both comparables 2 and 3 were inferior to which upward adjustment was applied.
Did 6163 Griss Lane or 25 Woodland Station come up in your comp search at any time?
Could you repeat the address again?
It was 25 Woodland Station Drive. Did that come up in your comp search at all?
I don't have it in my work file.
Okay.
There again, that's located across the street in Malahorn Crest, which is a restricted subdivision.
Okay.
I'm born and raised in Seaford for 3 generations. I pretty much know where those properties are located.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions from the board?
I have one. So looking at I'm looking at the comparable chart that you have here. So 2 of the homes were sold in 2021. So comparable 1 was sold in 2021, and so was comparable 2. Comparable 3 was sold in 2023. And we, as you know, we're looking at the value as of July 1, 2023 is what we're looking at. So did you factor in the time adjustment if these homes, comparable 1 and comparable 2, would have been sold in 2023, what those numbers would look like?
If there was any sort of market condition adjustment warranted,
yes.
I did consider that, and I did not think that it was applicable. It's typical in my practice. I don't do a lot of bank work anymore. Most of mine is private sector. But typically, if we're doing an estate appraisal or a divorce appraisal, I always look back a year. You have to look back a year at everything. In this case, we're looking at the time period, the roughly 21 through 23, through mid-23.
Yes.
So my search did include the entire time parameter. Yes. And I did not feel that a market condition adjustment would be easily derived or supportable in those cases where we can't adequately feel comfortable with an adjustment. I typically don't apply it.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Not, I will turn it over to assessments, Mr. Keeler and Mr. Zuck, for their testimony.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the appellant's application and the referee hearing, assessment staff did offer a stipulation agreement that brought the assessed value to $510,500, which the appellant did not accept. I will turn it over to our witness from Tyler Technologies, Mr. Ryan Zuck, in support of that value.
Thank you. And thank you for providing the appraisal. It does go a long way. I do appreciate it. I did have the opportunity to review it. I went through, made some, comments on it. And the one thing is the 3 comparables that you did provide, the square footage that you utilized, it appears you more than likely took them from the MLS data. So I went through and I looked at the MLS data and I compared that square footage back to the sketch of each comparable that we utilized within our analysis. So comparable 1, the actual square footage above grade is 3,340 square feet. The remainder of that is actually in the finished basement. Comparable 2, the square footage of that one based on our sketch is 2,492 square feet. The remainder of that finish is actually in the basement. Comparable 3, our sketch is actually 4,112 square feet, bigger than what was in the MLS data at 3,800 square feet. So, when looking at that, we want to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples if we can. The subject property, as was measured in the appraisal, is 4,306 square feet. Tyler does not have it being that big. We have the square footage being 4,079 square feet. So somewhere along the line, our measurement, the appraiser's measurement, is probably off somewhere a foot or so with a rounding error. A 4,300 square foot ranch is not typical. It is absolutely a monster in what we consider. So, you know, we can't always use other ranches, because you're not going to find other 4,000 square foot ranches as you would find a 1,500 or 2,000 square foot ranch. So we did look at, you know, the area within Seaford, Seaford School District, and we pulled up sales that were bigger, looking at the max that we could find. We're also looking at comparable sales that have a little bit of acreage to them. So the subject we do have at 3.83 acres, roughly being built 1963. We do have a basement, roughly partially of the main body. We have 4,079 square feet. Currently, we have a value of $125.12 per square foot. So based on the sales from the appraisal, you know, median adjusted price on them, we're looking at $155.21, because we do time adjust. So we time adjust everything up to July 1 of 2023. So the sales that were in 2021 would see a more time adjustment than the one that sold in 2023. So, you know, based on the sales that we looked at, based on the photos of the appraisal, you know, we did consider the inside to be a little bit dated. It is not updated by any means. Comparable to in the appraisal, I wouldn't personally consider that to be good condition. I think it's maintained. I don't think it's good in my opinion. Comparable three, I do agree, it has been totally renovated. At one point in time, comparable three appeared to be maybe a ranch or a cape, and they totally renovated that and put some massive additions on that. So what I did is I took the time adjustment into consideration, and then I kept all of the adjustments, whether I agreed with them or not, to come up with a reconstructed value. And I'm looking at comp one reconstructed 533,400. Comparable two reconstructed at 545.7, and comparable three reconstructed at 406,800. So I'm looking at a median reconstructed value of 533.4 and an average of 495,300. Currently, we're at 510,500. I think we're in line based on comps with the acreage and the size of that dwelling. It is a large ranch that you're not going to find the best available sales for them. So as we did, as the appraiser did, we do the best we can, and then we make adjustments for that. The one thing that we would disagree with is making sure we do take into account time adjustments. Thank you.
Your rebuttal. I would like to respond. The reason I am here today is because this is a unique property. Mr. Zuck, I would agree. Mm-hmm. I don't think it is a good candidate for a mass appraisal algorithm. I don't. Okay. As far as the discrepancy in square footage, I think you would agree with me that the reliability of the sketches, the square foot calculations on the assessment cards, there are errors. I've dealt with it for 34 years. I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would challenge the validity of the square foot estimates on the assessment records. Okay. When it is typical in my practice that we do use the square footage estimates from the MLS sheets, unless I notice a blaring difference, whether I think it's been overestimated or underestimated. If I think that's a condition, yes, then I go to the assessment record to look at the calculation, okay?
And just real quick, Mr. Houston, this is an opportunity to cross-examination, Mr.
Okay.
Zook. So
I was just trying to answer.
Yeah, you'll get an opportunity
right.
to rebut
right.
any evidence as well, though. I'm
okay.
just, yeah, just to, you know.
I would just remind you that from the standpoint of the typical buyer, the market participants, the reaction to the properties that sold, they are looking at the MLS data. They're not going on the county website and looking at the sketches. They're looking at the MLS data that their agent is providing them, okay? And from that information, they're making buying decisions, okay? The algorithm, you know, does not have any geographic competence, does it? I would urge the panel to keep that into consideration.
State that again.
I would say that the algorithm that is utilized does not have any geographic competence. In other words, it doesn't live, it doesn't work in the market that it's valuing. It doesn't talk to market participants. It doesn't talk to them about inventory and supply levels. It doesn't talk to real estate agents about perceptions of different properties. And I would urge the panel to keep that in mind. I think over 500, there's a saying in appraisal, you can do more damage by over-appraising a property than by under-appraising a property. And I think at over 500, it's too high. I don't think in that location, west of Seaford, you're just a quarter mile west of the nylon plant.
This is your rebuttal time.
Okay, well, those are my comments.
Did the board have any?
I don't have anything.
Did the board have any cross-examination questions for Mr. Zook, since we're kind of going a little out of order?
Questions from the floor? Hearing none? Now you may make closing comments.
I don't have anything further.
Okay. I don't have anything.
Very well.
Does assessment
have any closing comments?
I have nothing further.
I just have one. So the square footage that is on the MLS document, I don't know if a lot of people always know where that square footage comes from. Well, it comes from the assessment office. So that square footage is being obtained because none of the new updated characteristics have been updated. That is a reflection of the old square footage prior to us conducting the reassessment. Moving forward, that data that comes from the assessment office will be updated at some point in time to reflect the characteristics that have been carried over from the reassessment. That was it. Thank you.
Okay. I have a response. Can I respond to that?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I'll entertain a motion to close the record.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. I have a motion from Ms. Godwin, a second from Ms. Angel to close the record on this hearing. We'll take the vote. Ms. Godwin?
Yes.
Ms. Warner?
Aye.
Ms. Angel?
Aye.
Mr. Davis? Aye. Chair votes aye. The record is closed for this hearing. If any member of the board feels the appellant has not met the burden of proof with the information provided in the appeal and the record, they may make a motion to deny the appeal. Or if someone feels the appellant has met the burden of proof, we would need a motion to approve the appeal. I want to entertain a motion.
I'm going to make a motion. I'm making the motion to accept the appeal by directing the director of assessment to go back and recalculate the property's value based on testimony of Mr. Houston, the appraiser, and his report on behalf of the appellant. I think we have two experts here with Mr. Zook and Mr. Houston, and I think with due diligence, we should go back and take another look at this.
Is there a second?
All right, are you?
She motioned
to accept the appeal. Okay. I second the acceptance of the appeal based on the testimony of Mr. Houston. I thought you were saying that we have to go back. There isn't a loop closed. Is that right or no?
No, we have to, no, we have, we're sending it back. We're sending it back for, yeah, to take another look at it. Is that, hold on, let me make sure that's clear.
I got it.
Accepting.
I want to make sure Ms. Angel has it clear.
Got it, I second that.
Okay, all right, I want to make sure we're on the same page.
I assume we're not accepting any specific number, is that correct?
Is that what you said?
Yes, I want him to take, I want them to take another look at this, yeah, yeah.
Got it, then, yes.
I have a motion for Ms. Wanner and a second for Ms. Angel to approve the appeal and have it reviewed again by the county. We will now vote. Ms. Godwin?
No. Against.
Against
the motion.
The motion to approve the appeal.
To approve, yes.
And your reasons?
I feel that the price per square foot based on Tyler's data falls in line with comps both provided by the appraiser and by Tyler Technologies.
Okay, Ms. Wanner?
I vote to approve the appeal for reasons stated.
Okay, Ms. Angel?
I vote to approve the appeal.
Mr. Davis?
I vote to approve the appeal.
For?
Based on reasons already given.
And the chair votes to deny or vote against the motion to approve the appeal based on testimony provided today in this hearing. So the motion was approved, 3 votes yes, 2 votes no, and assessments will contact you.
Okay.
So does that mean we're gonna do it again? You didn't take what I said, you didn't take what he said, we're gonna do it again?
The motion was to reevaluate the property.
Okay, I thought it was you pick one or the other, that's
no,
not how it works.
No.
Okay, so we're gonna do it time number 4. That's fine, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Very well, thank you.
Panel, thank you for your time and reconsideration.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second?
I second the motion.
I have a motion by Ms. Godwin and a second by Mr. Davis to adjourn. Vote, Ms. Godwin.
Yes.
Ms. Wanner.
Aye.
Ms. Angel.
Aye.
Mr. Davis.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, and we are adjourned at 2:07.